Yeah, hello, who's this?
It's DJ Khaled, your brother. First of all, I want everybody to know I love you. You know what I'm saying? We support each other, and that's how it's supposed to be. They say you in the studio cooking up. They don't want us to win. So we're going to win more. A lot more. It's your brother for life. It's DJ Khaled. We the best. Another one.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are currently ready for takeoff and expected to be on air in 2 minutes. We ask that you switch on all data services and join us via Facebook, Twitter, WhatsApp, calls, and text messages. We also ask that you stay away from all other things that will distract you from this transmission.
Oh my, this is amazing. This is great. This is something I always want to listen to. Listening to the main man. D'LALIXTRA.
We going like.
Hello, it's me, your ex.
When you want more music,
champagne for my pain.
Ask for more music. Keep it quiet.
I've always known that you were trouble.
Extra means more.
Good morning, guys. You're welcome to another episode of the E-Factor. My name is D Apostrophe, and yes, I already know it. This is episode 9. Wow, okay. But then I think this is episode 3 of the virtual sessions. Like we said, we are going to be coming to you live and direct from, an obscure location. That actually makes me smile because, it has a little bit of meaning to it. You guys will know later. And then we're just going to be having interviews with people around the world and stuff like that. So this is the third of it. I hope you are actually enjoying it, taking a few things out of the conversations that we are bringing to you in the comfort of your home. So yeah, that is it. But so I welcome you to another exciting episode. It's really amazing to come your way once again. But then you know what it is, I'm alone today. That doesn't mean, well, I want to say something profound like I'm alone, but it doesn't mean I'm lonely, kind of. Anyway, that was just by the way. Anyway, so now let's get into the show very quickly. You know how we do it. We're going to get into our words. I have two words, then confused words. I have two of them. So I'm going to handle all of them. So yes, class is in session. Your teacher is here. Now, so the first word is motley. Motley, I don't know why I keep saying it. Okay, so motley. Motley means made up of many different things and people. So like the E factor is, made up of many different things and people. Yeah. Yeah, so that is it. So what you can do is, it's going to be spelled anyway, but you can look it up. You can, use it. Like, use it this week. Just say something. Like, your food is made up of many different things. I use the word. All right, now our next word is sandbag. Now, sandbag is usually for crooks, So that means to hide one's true abilities or purpose in order to deceive people or gain an advantage. So if somebody lies to you just to, gain an advantage. So let me say, those people who come to you like, oh, we want lorry fare to this place. Yeah, some of them might be lying. So just to gain advantage of you. So yeah, so that is sandbagging. Yes, so circle it, write it, the filter pens, use red. Yeah. And use it this week. Now, we're moving on to confused words. Now, these are words that actually sound the same, but are spelled differently and have different meanings. So the first one is whole. Now, whole means complete. So the whole E-Factor crew is here. Not here. Yeah, they're not here because the complete E-Factor guys are not here. Now, whole, which is H-O-L-E. Now, the first one is W-H-O-L-E. That is complete. And then whole, that is H-O-L-E, is a space in something. So what would I say? There's hole in heart. Hole in something. There people exactly in a door. So that is like a space inside the door. So so something like that. So make sure that you use them. You can use them. You can actually use them this week. make sure you don't forget. Now, that segment is actually supposed to teach you words and, you know, help your vocabulary. So, yeah, that is it. Now we're moving on to Song of the Week, but don't forget, after the Song of the Week, we move to Inspiration, and then we come back for the interview with Jason Skisek. He's an Army vet, an Army veteran, so like he's been in the Army and he's done, so he was doing networking and stuff like that. I mean, you get it from the full interview. Now he's also an entrepreneur's coach, and so I'm building him up like that. So after the Song of the Week and Inspiration, we're going to go right over to him and, you know, talk about entrepreneurship. So if you're trying to start a business or you have a business, this is for you. So yeah, that is it. Oh yeah, so Song of the Week, right? I mean, I'm just all over the place. So Song of the Week today is coming from Sam I, Jarina DiMarco, Anita and Bia. Now the song means, okay, so Sueltate. Yes, that's the whole Spanish vibe. So sueltate, that means let's go, or just let's go. I don't know whether the let's go is one or is two. Anyway, so let's sueltate. That means let's go. Now we're going for the Song of the Week, where we are back. I mean, it continues with Inspiration. The way we are back, we're talking to Jason Skisek. Don't go anywhere. This is the E Factor. My name is D apostrophe. I'm alone. As a solo ride, buddy. Well, I'll see you guys on the flip side.
This is the E Factor.
When it comes for one song and one song only.
We're gonna skate to one song only.
Hey, Bia, I'd rather be nobody other than me. Mark my words, my talk ain't cheap. Life's a dream, but I'm not sleep. I wish you felt the way I do. I can make this up, it's true. They can't love me like I do.
Oh my, this is amazing, this is great, this is something I always want to listen to, listening to the main man, D apostrophe L-A-L-I.
Sweat. want more music.
Champagne for my pain.
Ask for more music. Keep it quiet.
I've always known that you were trouble.
Extra means more.
And so I say to you, it's possible you can live your dream if it's becoming a diamond, if it's having more, if it's achieving more, if it's being a better father, being a better mother, whatever it is, overcoming addiction, changing our society. It's possible you can live your dream. It's necessary that you have a plan of action, that you're resilient, that you stick to, and you work with the system, that you work with people, that you give support, and that you be there for them, that you have the vision and never give up, that you become creative and relentless and keep on coming back. Again and again and again, and that it's you that you got to take personal responsibility to make it happen, and that it's hard, easy is not an option, and when life knocked you down, jump back up and said, it's not over until I win. And when you know it's hard, and you write down those reasons that will energize you, that will inspire you when you want to give up, when you doubt yourself and you pull those reasons out, that will make it worth it for you. And once you find those things that will make it worth it for you, it will create a hunger within you that won't be denied. And then it is done. It is done. It is done.
My excitement for moving fast, I don't want to move fast. I want to move correctly. I just don't want to waste no time. If it's something that's going to take us a year to make, if it's something that's going to take us 10 years to make, that's fine. Long as we don't waste no time.
Longevity.
Longevity.
This is the E Factor. What does the extra mean?
Want you to make me feel like I'm the only girl in the world.
We know that you're agile.
Jet plane headed up to the sky.
Even more music.
I'm addicted to you, and I don't know why.
And if you ask around, you're gonna say I'm a
All right, so good morning, Jason. Jason Skisek. I've been looking forward to this interview, actually, looking forward to it. And when you said the intro, I was like, wow, okay, this is going to be an interesting conversation, because it was very vibrant, very, all over the place. I was like, okay, I like the vibe. So yeah. Quickly, all right, so you are in Chicago, right?
Yeah, so I'm in what's called the Indiana Dunes National Park. So I'm right outside of Chicago on Lake Michigan, which is one of the Great Lakes here in America. There's a big area of natural sand dunes, and I live in a small little beach community in Indiana that's called Ogden Dunes.
All right. So how's the weather?
It's beautiful here. It is winter, so it's cold. It's negative Celsius, so it's like below 0 Celsius.
Wow.
But it's beautiful. It's like being in, a snow globe. It's like being inside a snow globe.
Mm-hmm. All right. So quickly, could you please introduce Jason Skisek to the listeners? I don't know who you are.
Yeah, sure. I'm a podcaster. I have a show called the Spear and Clover Podcast. Mm-hmm. I also help entrepreneurs to build foundations in their business. So really passionate entrepreneurs that have a big mission, but they struggle to, get the magic from between their ears out to the world. So I help people to do that. I have a background. I've owned a gym in Chicago, a pretty good size CrossFit gym in Chicago for about 12 and a half years. Mm-hmm. And before that, I was in the financial world. And before that, I was a United States soldier, so I was in the Army. And so I'd be happy to kind of talk through any of that today.
I mean, yeah. I'm very interested in, all of the topics, but, we just get into your Army side a little, and then we move into the entrepreneurship. We'll talk finance. I think we have to pick a whole day for finance, because finance is, very huge. So we'd have to reschedule, today we'll just speak about finances. So you mentioned that you had a gym. You said you owned. What happened?
So I still own a portion of it. I just sold the majority of it when I left the city. So I moved, my wife and I moved to the to Indiana, as I said. So I just knew that I wasn't going to be there every day. And so, yeah, I sold. And really my focus these days has been working, helping with other entrepreneurs. And so the way to explain that would be, you know, fitness is a good example, actually. You know, you change your life by finding fitness. You change one life, right? And then some people maybe that are friends of yours come to your garage and you can change maybe 5 or 10 lives, right, in your garage. And then one day you decide, this is very common, you decide, oh, well, I've done, helped, I like changing people's lives, so I'm going to do that for more people. And so we opened a gym. And then maybe we changed a few hundred people's lives. And then there just became a time where you realize, oh, well, I can work with other gym owners and now I can change thousands of lives. And then there just became a time where I realized that the life changing that I was suited for didn't have to just involve fitness. And so now I work with entrepreneurs of all types and give away a free podcast, Spear and Clover podcast, hoping to one day change millions of lives. And so I'm trying to scale my impact over time because I really enjoy doing what I do and I don't want to be limited to just the people that are in the room with me.
Okay. So, I mean, from what you've said, you like to help people. That's what's there. All right. So, I mean, before we get into the whole entrepreneurship bit, can you just talk about, you know, your experience in the army? First of all, like, why did you enlist in the first place?
Yeah.
What drove you to enlist?
Yeah. I mean, like a lot of young men, I had all of the energy in the world and I had a lot of intelligence and physical capability, but I didn't have any purpose and I didn't have any discipline. And if you can see the video, I have a tattoo on my forearm of a spear and an infinite loop of rope. And I call that spear and clover. And what that symbol means is the infinite loop of clover is what I call the spirit of the puppy. That's high energy. That's friendliness. That's excitement. That's I love to try new things. I'm playful. That I already had. I grew up with that, Dalali. But what I didn't have was what the spear represents, and I call that military mindset. And so that's the ability to show up on time, to get things done, to step up when it's time to take responsibility, and to see things through to the finish. And so this is a reminder, my show, my whole life really is centered around this idea of, you know, the spear, military mindset, and the puppy, making sure to enjoy life as it's happening. And so when I was young, I had the spirit of the puppy. I was a fun guy to be around. I just didn't have a whole lot of focus. I didn't have a whole lot of, discipline, and I wasn't stepping up for responsibility. And so as you probably can guess, the military was certainly happy to give me those skills. And so I did. I enlisted in the military when I was about 21. I was 21. And I spent 4 years in the military. I was deployed to Iraq twice. I got to live in Germany over the course of about 2 years. And I just had it was just the best thing that I ever decided to do with my life.
Okay. So what exactly did you do in the army? What was your...
Yeah. So for starters, I was, I enlisted as a network systems engineer. So like an internet or telecommunications engineer. And if you're listening to this and you don't know what that means in the army, that means they give you a shovel and they tell you to dig holes and then they give you cable and they tell you to pull cable. So it's not as sexy as it sounds. So we basically were in charge of bringing internet and phone service and communication service to the battlefield or to, you know, the deployment area. And so that's what we did. It was mostly digging holes and pulling cable.
Okay. All right. So, just before you joined the army, I mean, you mentioned about the fact that you had all the energy in the world, but you didn't have purpose. So what are some of the things that you had to let go, you know, after you joined the army, and how did they, you know, help you to be who you are today?
Yeah, I think more than anything, when you're young, there's just you're not necessarily able to take a look at yourself from outside of yourself, and so it's very difficult for you to kind of take inventory of what you're doing. A lot of what you're doing as a young person, I think, is driven by instinct and energy. It's like, ooh, there's a pretty girl, I'm gonna run over there. Oh, there's a fun thing, I'm gonna go do that. Oh, I feel like eating a pizza, so I'm gonna do that. And oh, I feel like sleeping in, so I'm gonna do that. And I think that the military, it did teach me things, but it taught me things by structuring my life in a way that took that away, right? And so I would show up on time and I would shave every day and I would be in uniform every day. And so by doing that, it gives you a reset. And it also allows you to sort of be aware of what decisions you're making to do with your life and sort of why you're making those decisions. And I think previously, it's hard for me to say exactly, but I think previously I might not have been as aware of why I was doing the things that I was doing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I do. I do. It makes sense. I get it.
Yeah.
All right, so now let's jump into entrepreneur. I mean, that's one of the things that I've actually wanted to speak about, like always, like because I'm also starting something here. I'm trying to like actually do this podcast, you know, make this whole network morph into a radio station one day. And it is very difficult. And I think people look at you from the outside and they don't even understand how difficult it is. So in Africa, right, I don't know how it is around the world. But like here, it's more like, so I'm always in the house. I do most of the things from the house because, you know, I'm trying to create something and these things take time. But then here, there's this thing that, you know, is in the minds of our parents or, you know, higher authority. It's more like if you're in the house and you're not moving out every day, you don't move out by 6, come back by 5, then it means you have no purpose. It means you're just lazying around. You know, and it gets so difficult because starting anything is like super, super, super difficult. And I don't know how to explain to them that, you know, like this is definitely going to work. Like it's something that I can't live without. So if I stop this today, it's more like I'll be miserable. I can't imagine myself doing something else. So as a coach, how do you help people like this?
Well, I would tell you that, you know, for starters, Bill Gates spent a lot of time in a garage before he launched Microsoft.
Yeah.
And Steve Jobs spent a lot of time in a garage before he launched Apple. Yeah. And, you know, I could go on and on and on. And I will say this, I do typically leave my house many times a week. But I've been launching this business lately in this last month. And I talked to my wife the other day. I haven't left the neighborhood in over a week. I literally have not gone to the store or anything in over a week because I haven't been going to the gym because I've been doing so many podcasts and stuff. But normally I do go to the gym, you know, three or four days a week. But yeah, absolutely. I think it's difficult because there's this thing where entrepreneurs are not like the people that are around us. There's a reason for that.
Yeah.
Because if everybody was entrepreneurs, there, you know, then what would we do? And so, you know, what I would say is, as entrepreneurs, two things are important. Number one is to trust that your vision for the thing that you want to create in the world is valid and is worthwhile. Okay. And scrutinize it too, but trust it. So ask yourself, am I sure this is something I want to do? Do I really believe that this is something the world needs? Do I really believe that there is a market out there of people who want to consume it, right? The answer to that is probably yes, with the way technology works now. You can always reach somebody, right?
Yeah.
But the second thing is to understand that other people, by default, are not going to understand your vision, because that's why you have to do it.
Yeah.
Every business, every successful business is, by definition, someone doing something for the world that previously was not being done, right? There are many different radio stations, but there are no radio stations that are hosted by Dalali, right?
Yeah.
And so if you create that, it is the first time it's ever been done. Of course, nobody around you thinks you should do it because they're not you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so there is this thing where on the one hand, you have to trust that your vision is worthwhile. And on the other hand, you have to understand that the people who don't understand what you're doing, they don't want bad for you. They're just not capable of the vision that you have. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. So another thing. Now, where do you draw the line between... So it's more like, I get it. So you're trying. It's going to take time. But sometimes, like, where do you draw the line in saying, okay, this might probably not be for me? Because I feel like, you know, everybody feels a child's play. Like when you wake up, oh, I want to create a business. I want to do this. I want to do that. But then you start and then you realize that, okay, this is a lot, you know, and people... people are usually not honest with what has to go into that. That's like time. That's like sleepless nights. That's like depriving yourself of like so many things. And it's more like you might think you are ready for it, but trust me, you're not. You're really, really not.
It's so interesting because what I would say is, number one, you must seek the truth as an entrepreneur. And the truth comes in many different forms that entrepreneurs sometimes struggle with. And so I'll kind of talk through what I mean by that. So number one, you have to seek the truth of what is going to be required of you to create this thing, especially early. So just for the listener, I know you know, but for the listener, we're talking about early stage building a business. And so the first thing you got to do is try to seek the truth of what will be required of you. And a lot of times that's difficult because the thing that will be required of you might not be the reason why you want to do it. And so, for instance, let's say you're trying to start a radio station. Yeah. And what you really want to do is speak to people from all over the world and broadcast those interesting conversations out to other people all around the world. But the truth may be that requires that you learn audio engineering, and it requires that you learn lighting, and it requires that you learn social media, and it requires that you learn technology or coding or how to build a website, things that maybe are not a part of the very the core idea. Does that make sense so far?
It does.
And so the second thing is, if you get into that work and you're starting to do that work, you need to be truthful as to what hard work is actually getting you towards your goal and what hard work is just you doing something harder that isn't working. Mm-hmm. Because ultimately, the thing that will make you successful and the thing that you work really hard at are not necessarily the same thing.
Yeah.
I know so many people, I'll give you a good example. I've met a ton of gym owners who are the best in their field at what they do, right? They're unbelievable with their knowledge. They're really great with clients. They can get you unbelievable results. And if you came and met them, you would never want to leave. But they're struggling financially and their business is difficult and they can't take vacation and they're working from morning until night every single day. And the reason is, it's not that they're not working hard enough. It's that they're working hard in the wrong directions. These are not the things that are going to end up growing their business. And so ultimately, the thing that gets you from point zero to point one, which is typically like running through brick walls and wearing all the hats and having this magic stuck between your ears, that's not the thing that's going to get you from point one to point two. Does that make sense to Lolly?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
It really, really, really does. So usually, if you're starting something like this, I mean, despite the hard work, there always has to be that extra that actually gets you where you're going. All right. So, I mean, as an entrepreneur coach, what's some of the very, very common mistakes that you've come across, you know, with entrepreneurs?
Well, typically it's exactly what I'm talking about. Is the number one thing that entrepreneurs mistake is they mistake any hard work for the right hard work. And so typically my job is not to give you answers, Dalali. My job is to ask you questions that allow you to step outside of your current situation and see the whole picture. Because a lot of times in a vacuum, if you're just alone in a room working all day on the computer, it gets very, very difficult to see objective reality from the outside. And so it's very easy for me. I mean, you have a friend who's come up to you before and said, Dalali, I love this girl. She's great. And in your head, you're like, every time we see her, she's a mess. She cheats on you. She takes your money. She does whatever, all of these things. And you're like, to you, it's so obvious. It's like, you cannot stay with this person. But to that person, they just can't see it, right? This is how people are that are entrepreneurs, right? We have a bad girlfriend or boyfriend, and we just keep on pushing, hoping that one day she's going to turn into, or he's going to turn into, the significant other of our dreams. And the reality is, you're just too close to the situation sometimes. And so my job at its best is just to listen and understand the vision, the mountain that this person wants to climb, and ask them questions that will reveal whether or not the actions they're taking will actually result in them going up that mountain or not.
All right. So from there, I mean, I heard everything that you said. The example is great, by the way. Now, from there, could you just highlight a few survival skills that any entrepreneur will need, like any?
I think it's probably two things. One is troubleshooting. This is something I learned in the Army and was reinforced in the finance world through like spreadsheets and stuff, and then through building a gym, like mechanically. And that is, I have a problem in front of me. I don't care if it's that I need to make a hole in a cement wall. I don't care if it's I need to figure out how many dollars I need to spend on advertising. I don't care if it's I need to figure out what my budget is for payroll. Any of those things is a problem. And so understanding how to reverse engineer a problem to its simplest parts and then work your way through troubleshooting that is probably the number one indicator of success that I've seen in entrepreneurs. Because once you do that, there's never going to be a wall in your way again. Because if you see a wall, you'll find a way to put a window or a door, you know? And so because of that, that's the number one thing, is learning how to troubleshoot and break down problems. Like, there are people out there who are just good at Google. That's a thing, right? Like, being able to find answers quickly on Google, that's a really powerful tool for entrepreneurs. And that's why whenever I train an employee, one of the steps is called DIGI. Did I Google it? So before you bring it to my desk, you have to have already Googled it. Because if you come to me with a question and I just put it into Google and hand you the answer, now we're talking about trouble. And then the second thing, Dalali, is learning how to lead a team. And learning how to lead a team takes time, and it takes patience, and it takes emotional intelligence. I'm of course speaking for entrepreneurs that have to have a team, not all do. But if you do have a team, I think the second major skill that makes you successful is understanding not just how to get people to do things for you, but how to find people who really like the work you need done, and how to get them to want to achieve the mission next to you, with you, as a part of a team. Because right now in the world, if you look at places that just expect you to show up for a paycheck and work hard, those places are really struggling, because I think 2020 really reset everybody's understanding of their values and their priorities. And so because of that, there's been many times where I show up to a restaurant and it says, we're closed. Nobody showed up for work. We're just closed. This happens. And this is in a very nice area, right? It's just, I don't want to go make fries today, so I'm not going to. Whereas businesses that align their clients, I'm sorry, that align their team, all in the same boat, where it may be a low-level employee, but they understand that what the work they're doing is leading towards a goal that they're passionate about, well, now you're in business. And so the two things to summarize, the two things that entrepreneurs need is the ability to solve problems consistently and well, and the ability to lead a team of people who want to be there and are excited about achieving the mission.
All right. That's great. So unfortunately, that's all we have time for today.
Okay.
But I'm really looking forward to talking finance with you. And then a little bit more about entrepreneur. I mean, there's a lot. So like, I'll pick out a different day, would actually talk about that. I mean, you are free. I mean, if you are down though.
Yeah, of course. I'll talk to you anytime.
Okay. So thank you very much, Jason Skeesley. Yeah. Is there anything that you want to add before you leave?
No. I think, you know, if you're listening to this, or even if you're just you, Dalali, and you think that this rings true to you, or is this is something that, you know, these are conversations that we're breaking down in a way that you identify with, then I would say listen to my podcast, check me out on Instagram. This is what I do, is talk to entrepreneurs like you, and like you, the listener, and try to help you understand that you're not crazy and you're not wrong or built wrong or anything, and that you can, in fact, go out and build pretty amazing things. And it's a lot simpler than you might think. Our tagline is winning is simple, because it is. It's not easy, but it is simple. It doesn't take a lot of complexity to go out and build an impactful business. And so I can help you with that.
Okay. Thank you very much, Jason Skeesick. This was an amazing conversation. Yeah. I'm looking forward to another conversation with you. Surely. But before you go, now, because since I'm from Ghana, I'd like you to say thank you in one of our languages, or maybe two of our languages. Yeah, let's do two of our languages. So we have Ga, that's one of our languages. Then we have Siwu, that's another language. So with Siwu, you say follow brara, that's thank you.
Okay, follow brara.
Okay, yeah, it sounds
good. Let me try it again. Say it again.
Follow brara.
Follow Brara.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then the other one, that's like very difficult. That's Ga. So you say Oyiwadon.
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 Yeah. Ah, okay. Very
okay. I'll take it. That's fun, man.
Yeah.
I like that. That's fun.
Yeah. And you should come out to Ghana one of these days, man. Like, I mean,
I would love to. Yeah, I would love to.
I will probably hang out or something like that. It'll be great.
Yeah, that'd be fun, man.
Yeah.
I'm impressed, man. You're building something cool out there.
Ah, thank you. Thank you very much. So thank you so much. I don't even want to go, but well, time is, you know, just so, yeah, we'll do this some other time. So, ladies and gentlemen, Jason Skisek.
Of course. Thank you.
This is the effect.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to touch down. Thank you for joining us on this exciting journey. Join our next transmission for an even better experience. Have a nice day.